Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Alex Eady, sitting in for Joe Wren today. We're with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight for the fourth Wednesday of the month. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for covering Kokomo.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so just jumping right in. So school is in session since the last show now, and IU Kokomo had their move-in day just last week. And so just with the growth of the IUK campus, do you feel like Kokomo is really feeling the effect from the students? Kind of, what do you think about that?
Yeah, we have. Over the last few years, Indiana University Kokomo has been the fastest growing campus in the IU network. And that has resonated into a few years ago. The private dorms were built. They've been very successful. And if you go to the campus now, directly to the east of the campus, we have another private developer who's building student dorms as we speak that will be ready to open in the fall of 19. So the campus has been growing. They've added a lot of sports programs and new opportunities for higher education. So it's become even a bigger part of the Kokomo community.
Yeah, and that kind of feeds into my next question. So are there outreach activities that the city does to really capitalize on having a large population of students here?
We try to work, and I feel like we do work very well with the chancellor, and I serve on the advisory board for Indiana University Kokomo. Our chancellor is involved in our economic development board. Last year she served as our president, and so she serves on the executive committee and on the board itself. And they're very active and engaged in the community, and I feel like, and I think the chancellor would say that we have a great relationship and have very similar goals in making sure this is a great place, not only for people to live, but for young people to go to school.
Yeah, and so why do you think that students pick a regional campus like Kokomo, so as opposed to Bloomington or Indy? Why do you think Kokomo is kind of their choice?
Well, I can only go from the limited knowledge that I have, but a lot of it, it's a smaller campus, so there's more personal attention, and it's kind of big, you know, you have the direct contact with a lot of people in the school administration. They're easy to access because there's just a limited number of students. Affordability, I always hear that come up, that it's very affordable to live here. Our housing costs here in Kokomo are much more affordable. So I think those things, as well as the growth and opportunities, you get the same degree, access to the same curriculum. So I think it makes it a really nice choice for people that maybe want to stay closer to home. Or have a different type of environment, as opposed to a really large campus environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of changing gears to a different school topic, something that you just definitely can't miss in the news is school safety.
Sure.
So as state officials are just allocating more money to schools for different resources, how safe do you feel like Kokomo schools are?
I feel, in today's world, I feel I have a good relationship with the superintendent of Kokomo Schools, and in Howard County we have five school systems. Four of those five have at least part of their student body. Some have a couple have about half, and others have a part of their student body that live inside the city of Kokomo. And there's a lot of uncertainty in the world today. But as far as Kokomo schools, I can speak the best on that. I have a daughter that attends Kokomo High School, and I have three sons that graduated from Kokomo High School. I'm very comfortable with the level of safety and the attention that they give it. We have a partnership and have for years with liaison officers, where we have a contract with the schools where we provide liaison officers to not just Kokomo High School, but the three junior high schools, and then they filter out into the elementary schools. So all in all, you can never be too safe, but I feel like they're doing what they can in with the circumstances at the national climate.
Mm-hmm. And have there been any talks of different resources that for sure will be brought in this year that's different from previous years?
It's interesting. We've had those discussions, and we usually don't disclose those. We don't give all the details on what we're doing and what we're focusing on, because that only, if somebody has poor or bad intentions, that only gives them something, more knowledge of the situation. So I think we're covering the basis as best we can, and I feel good about it. And like I say, my daughter goes to Kokomo High School, and she's a sophomore this year, so I'm very comfortable.
Good, good. Okay. So changing gears again. So last month we talked about some new housing that's relying on federal grant money that's administered by the state. So can you talk a little bit more about kind of where you all are with that process?
Yes. We've submitted through the IHCDA, Indiana Housing, three opportunities for housing here in Kokomo, and this is multifamily, senior housing, and then supportive housing. And so three different buckets, there are different buckets of housing opportunities. So this is, developers receive federal tax credits, so there are not local tax credits that are given. These are all through the federal government. And one is for family housing. So the criteria would be that it has to be family housing. These are for people that have children or single parents who have children, have to be part of that equation. We have a proposal for senior housing. And again, this is 55 and older, and these are both for low to mod income. So these are for people who are working but are in the what would be considered low to mod income range. And then we also have a proposal to receive supportive housing, and this is a something new to our community, and this would be a family homeless shelter for families that need some temporary housing. That could be weeks, could be months, but gives them a chance to get back on their feet. We have, a few years ago, we received a veterans a supportive housing project, and it's been very successful, the Jackson Street Commons. It's garnered a lot of support in the community, and now we're looking at doing something for family housing. We submit these to the state, and they have been submitted, and then the state will award them based on points. So you receive points if you're close to parks, if you're close to the a bus line, if you're close to a library, if you if we're redeveloping a blighted piece of property, there are points that are awarded, and it's very competitive. So most cities submit these, and so we feel like we have a chance. We've submitted three, and obviously we're best case scenario we would receive all three, but if not, we think we one or two of those have a really, really good chance of being awarded, and I think they're awarded sometime in the latter half of November. So right now it's in the state's hands, and we'll know here in a couple months whether we're successful.
Okay, perfect. I'm sure we'll be following up to see what happens with that. And you talked a little bit about the logistics of it, the proximity to different amenities and things like that. So the land is north of downtown. It's a four-story, 51-unit space, correct?
That's for the family housing, correct.
Just for the family housing, okay. So just with that portion of it, does that fit kind of the density and the scope of what's already downtown?
It does. And what we're trying to do, Kokomo's population, you have to remember, just a small, of the 92 counties, only a handful are growing faster than the state average. And then you have another group of counties that are growing, but at a less rate than the state average. We fall into that group. And then you have a large number, over two-thirds of the counties are losing population. So as we look at our growth, which is limited, we want to make sure we're not having more sprawl. We're not spreading out. We're trying to fill in existing properties and repurpose existing properties and bringing them up to best use. And so as we develop, we try to develop along. We have a beautiful trail system here in Kokomo for bicyclists and pedestrians. We're trying to get our citizens out and more active. Part of that is developing along that trail system so that it becomes natural and part of a daily life to utilize the trails and become more mobile. Obviously, that makes us more healthy. That makes us a more attractive community for economic development. So as we look at these projects, their proximity to our trail system, it's imperative, not just with affordable housing, but we use the same criteria when we look at luxury apartments and condos and new development.
Mm-hmm. I was reading up on August events, and something that was there was Kokomo Pride hosted an annual Diversity in the Park event. And so this was an event that had some first-time things, including a first-time drag show at Highland Park. Sure. And so in the Kokomo Tribune, there was a quote from an organizer who said, "We've been putting off having a drag show because we didn't know if Kokomo was ready for this." So can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on that quote, and then also, do you think that Kokomo is ready for Pride events like this?
I went to the event at the beginning. They had asked me to come and read a proclamation. This was the fifth year that they hosted the event. It was a pretty big turnout, and different people from different ages, pretty diverse group. So we had parents, we had grandparents, we had family members, and a lot of people that came out for this event. I think it was one of their biggest turnouts. I personally was there to read a proclamation, meet the, do a quick introduction, thanking them for being active, and then I wasn't there for the show itself. So I can't say that I witnessed it or heard much about it. Anything, I think that's tastefully done is fine, and I'd heard no complaints from maybe one or two people that just didn't appreciate it or didn't maybe, but the ones that did, the ones I heard from were actually not in attendance. So I can't quite quantify whether what the concern was if they weren't there to see it. So, but for the most part, the Tribune wrote a story, and like I say, this is the fifth year they've done that, and we're not part of the organizing, but I think they'll probably look in and possibly do that again next year. I don't know.
Yeah, and so you see these Pride festivals. There's Indy Pride, Spencer Pride, and Bloomington. So I guess, can you talk about why you've been a supporter of having a Pride festival here?
Yeah, I think obviously we, through my personal and our policy here in the city on civil rights, that we want to be an open, welcoming community that encourages people to be who they are. And as I try to tell people, we can't grow our community and say we don't want gay people in our community. We can't grow our community and say we don't want people of the Muslim faith in our community, and start being very selective in who we want in our community. That's not how you grow a community. And if you know the people of Kokomo, I'm very proud to say we're a very charitable group. We're a very loving group here in Kokomo, and we're a very open-minded group. And I think nothing says that more than allowing people to be who they are.
Okay. Let's switch gears a little bit one more time. So there's an ordinance that passed, the first reading on a new convention center. And that's a project where, in terms of funding, it allocates $300,000 to move the downtown trolley stop and some other offices off of where the new construction will begin. So I guess, can you talk a little bit about where that funding came from for that project?
Sure. I believe it came out of the general fund. We've been very frugal over the last 3-4 years within the city of Kokomo. We pass a budget, and a budget is an appropriation, meaning we have the legal authority to spend up to those levels. Almost constantly over the last 3 or 4 years, we have underspent the city budget by about, we've usually come in about 8-10% under budget. So we have been able to build up a little bit of a cash reserve. So the reason is so we can do big projects like this. So we are moving. Part of the hotel conference center plan is we've designated a location at Superior Streets between Main and Union, just here in the downtown area. But that's where our current bus station or our trolley station is. And we're moving it right now to next door to City Hall. So it's moving about a half a block away. That building's being refurbished to make a new bus station. Then the old bus station would be torn down, and the new development would be ready to begin in the spring. So as we look at things, you know, that's part of our frugality over the last few years has enabled us to be able to do some bold things and some big things in our city by kind of watching the pennies. And I give credit to our city council, I give credit to our department heads, and our employees, they do a good job from the people that work in the refuge department and the street department to our officers, to our firefighters, to every group. We try our best to manage tax dollars wisely and so that we can also do some pretty impressive things for a community our size.
Yeah. And so when is the next and final vote going to be for that funding to know when?
Our next city council meeting, I believe, is next Monday. But to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure it's on the agenda, but I believe it is.
So, okay. So coming up here soon. On the topic of conference center funding as well, we've been told that that number is $26 million, correct?
Right.
So do you know how much of that funding is coming from the private hotel developer?
Yeah, overwhelming, over 50% is coming from there. Now keep in mind, those are estimates based on, we haven't started the process and receiving bids and some of those things. Obviously, when we put together those $26 million, it comes from estimates based on square footage and things like that, and you know, you never know when you redevelop. There are always uncertainties. When you build on a piece of property that's never had development, it's usually there are no surprises. When you build on one that's been had different uses for 150 years or so, right in the middle of a downtown, there's always unexpected things you may find. So we're giving our best estimate, but it comes from multiple sources. The biggest funding will be from the private sector. The second biggest funding will come from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Third biggest will come from the city, and then the county government's also participating because this will be a hotel, conference center, and also our county automotive museum will be a part of this. So there are actually three pieces to this.
Mm-hmm. And then is there a plan for the remaining amount of funding that's still missing?
We think we have it figured out. We think we've put together a budget. Could there be, bids could always come in a little less or bids could come in higher, and then that we'll have to value, what they call value engineer. We'll have to make decisions on, well, if we can save money by doing this type of a facade or changing different things to make that work. And we'll just have to see once we start putting the entire budget. So we base it on the best knowledge we have, and with construction not beginning till next spring at the earliest, you know, it could change, but we're pretty close to where we think we need to be.
And the timeline remains the same as far as starting the project?
Yes.
And
shooting. Yep. Once it begins, time frame will be closer to 14 months. So if we start next April, probably June of 2020 will be completion date.
Okay, perfect.
Those are just estimates at this time.
Yeah, things are always subject to change.
Yeah.
So, and then moving on to something else. So we caught some reporting a bit ago just about the aging downtown Kokomo Public Library. So just as cities continue to change and build with scope and density, there are still efforts, even still, to preserve history in cities. So I guess, what are your thoughts on needing to repair and restore the library? Or is there a push more to preserve the history with it? What are your thoughts on that?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't heard anything about this. So you've got me up on it. Now, I will say this, the library is its own taxing unit, just like county government, city government, our schools, the libraries, trustees, they're their own taxing unit. At least with our agreement that's been in place for decades, I have no mayoral appointments to that. Most of them come from the county commissioners or the county council because it's a county or predominantly a county-wide system. I do know this, they renovated and put a substantial amount of money in the downtown library probably 6 or 7 years ago. They did a lot of facade work, added a lot of natural lighting, did some upgrades to the facility, and I'm very proud of it. I think they did a great job. So anything that this is just news to me, so I'm not sure what that would be, where they feel like the next move is for upgrading it. But, it's, like I say, they're their own taxing unit, so I'm sure they've put together some sort of a plan for any capital improvements.
Yeah, and as a more general question, as you said, the city is continuing to grow. There's more housing being added and things like that. Do you feel like it's important to preserve more of the historic units that are within the city or continue to build them up with other things?
I'm a huge proponent of preserving anytime we can historical structures, and we have a good history of that. One time the city owned what is now First Farmers Bank downtown Kokomo, which is the most prominent building on the square, and we were able to find when that was up for sale, and it used to be another bank, we were able to buy it, convince First Farmers Bank to come in, and they've done a great job, and they've been a great tenant here in our community. Things like the old Ice Factory, which is now the Fox's Trail Restaurant, on South Main Street, we owned that at one time and convinced them to come and take that over and preserve that historic building. So I'm all about historic preservation. I think we do as good a job as anybody at that. Now, with that being said, there's a difference between historic and old, and some things are just old and maybe not, they have not really any part of them that's historic, and so sometimes you do have to look at those things and make sure we can't save every brick, and if it has nothing that is architecturally significant that separates it from other things, we want to do, to me, quality cities are the ones that do the best to preserve history, preserve the old, but also integrate the new, and that's what we try to do here.
Mm-hmm. And it's a hard compromise just because everyone thinks something is, historic and worth preserving to them, so it's hard to, decipher what's worth kind of changing. But
Yep. Sometimes it's a fine line, but I think we do as good a job as any to preserve historic pieces of our community.
Okay, perfect. Let me check my mic really quick. Okay, we're good. I guess that really hit a lot of my questions. Is there anything else that's coming up that's kind of on your desk?
No, as we go out throughout the year, we'll start the budget process here, just like other cities here in the next few weeks. So we're kind of finalizing all the details. And we do, like I said, I think our administration and the department heads, employees, and we do, I think we do as good a job as any, and we've kind of figured out what we need to do to make sure we take care of taxpayer dollars, and I think we'll put together a budget that the council will be proud of and the city will be proud of.